Welcome to the Cognac Expert Calendar podcast, hosted by Taylor.
So today I'm very happy to be speaking with Grégoire from Marancheville. How are you today, Grégoire?
Hello, very happy to be here. It's been kind of a little tradition now to be here with this event calendar together. And I'm very happy to speak about that, what you're about to going to taste.
Fantastic. Always great to speak with you. So before we get into all of my other questions, can you tell our listeners who you are and what your role is at Marancheville?
Seeing that we're a small business, a small cognac house, and what I prefer, what drives me really, is working on the blends and the selection of our cognacs for them to be bottled.
And if I understand correctly, you have quite some hectares of vines and a big distillery operation, correct?
Yes, that's exactly it. We have our deep knowledge around the distillation. So our number one job is the distillation. So we have the vineyards, but we also have cellars where we age our eau de vie, and that's what we live from. Apart from that, we created the brand Marancheville, and it is quite confidential, a really small confidential brand. We are only two people there. So there's Laurent and myself, and our goal is to just have fun. We don't have the ambition of becoming a big cognac house. We just want to focus on the blends.
Excellent. So I'll have a few more questions, obviously, about Marancheville and your vineyard and distillation. But before all that, can you tell us what cognac we are tasting today?
Yes. Today, so we asked ourselves the question in the direction of what could we bring new to the customer with our cognac? Therefore, we worked our brains and our nose, of course. And finally, we realized that there was something that was right in front of us that we didn't thought about getting out yet. You know, sometimes it's like that. In fact, things seem obvious in front of us, but we don't think about it. We just talked about it. In fact, what we propose is what we call the réserve de famille. So it's an eau de vie or a cognac that we have kept for a very long time and one that we usually use for family, friends, and occasions. So it's the family stock for big occasions to celebrate. And this cognac that has a little bit of characteristics from that and is something that we are usually not used to do.
Okay, fantastic. So I want to come back to this, your vineyard and the work between you and your brother. How are the different activities and the work divided between you and Laurent?
So for Marancheville, there's no real distinction between work tasks between the two of us. Of course, every one of us has their weaknesses and their strengths, so we focus more on what we can do better. But for Marancheville, it's also important that we work together. We love working together and doing the things together. The blends, the tastings, the bottling, we both enjoy that equally. And then on the commercial part of things, of course, each of us has their clients and we take care of them. But apart from that, we do pretty much everything together.
Very nice. Okay. And can you talk a little bit about the last couple years and some of the climate incidents that you've had to go through?
Yes, so it's been a couple of years now that we can really feel that the climate changed with hail, with more frost. Then the question is there a tendency that they got more? We have the tendency to say yes. For that, I would have to look at the statistics to see if it's really real. But at the same time, we also have very good yield and also good quality yield. What bothers us more, or what's more problematic, are those extreme temperatures in summer, for example, where it's very, very hot, or in winter where it gets suddenly very, very cold. Especially for young vineyards, the sudden heat is very dangerous and poses a problem.
So if it's too hot and too dry, what are the risks or the challenges that you have to deal with?
I would say that the most dangerous thing is the heat for the vineyard. When there's high temperatures over a very short period of time, that's, for example, the highest impact is when there's around 40 degrees, even more what we've had the most recent years. And we can really see the impact on the grains, on the grapes, and how the vineyard suffers. And the challenge here is to adapt to the climate and to make it use, to own it, and on the other hand, to find new solutions to adapt to the climate change. For example, you could grow more leaves on the vines to make a shield, a protection against the sun for the grapes. And regards of drought, it's less impacting because the vineyard is very, very humble in regards to water. It can withstand drought. And then there's fields that support it more or less, but that too, we may have to see our ways of cultivating, review them, especially at the level of soil, where there may be something to do, but nothing miraculous either. Then for the future, there might be grape varieties that adapt better to the climate conditions. So there's many things to review, to adapt to, and to see what happens next.
It's nature, after all. Now, I've visited your distillery, and it's very impressive. You're in the middle of distillation right now. Will you be distilling for 5-6 months straight?
Yes, so it's going to be almost 6 months of distilling. I think for me, it's the biggest period of distilling. The vineyards had a very big yield. It was very generous. We also started distillation the earliest day possible in order to gain as much eau de vie as possible, also to stock up on our réserve climatique. So the réserve climatique, as I touching on the previous question, as I said, the yields are very generous and we can distill a lot of wine to have a lot of eau de vie and create a large amount of réserve climatique, which is eau de vie that is not going to age because we put it in inox tanks, which then helps us out once for any future years the yield is not as high or as generous to help us out during a downtime. So that's also an answer to your question about the climate change. To stock up when nature is generous, to take what it offers, and also then to come back to it if another year wasn't as generous. That helps us to compensate.
Yeah, great. And for our listeners, can you describe a typical day during distillation? Meaning, are the alambic running nonstop, or do you have to start them, stop them? Do you clean them? Can you open up your world of distillation?
Of course. So for me, distillation looks not as exciting. It's a lot of routine. And routines can be quite boring. So what we do every day the exact same, even say every few minutes, we do the exactly same task. And for us, the objective is to have the same quality of eau de vie that is constantly the same. And to obtain that, with the number of aerobics that we have, to be sure to do things right, in the right order, what is important is that it happens every day at the same time, the same thing, not to get bored with it, still be aware of what you're doing, and that's the big challenge. To give you an example, so for us distillers who distill at home, it's like every day we listen to the same playlist you put on every day from Monday to Sunday, and it's exactly the same songs. Sometimes from time to time there are a few, let's say 20 minutes, one or two different pieces to listen to. That's really it though. We don't change the routine. That's really what we're looking for, a stable routine. It's not changing. And now to be more precisely, we start at 4 in the morning. We empty the alambic. We clean them. And then we fill them up again. That all happens between 4, 4.30 and 6 o'clock. And that's also the time when the steams arrive and appear. Then, of course, there's the Bunshof. We supervise that basically the entire day. And in the evening around 5 p.m., we empty the chaudière and we refill them to have another cycle. And it's this operation of guiding and filling, which is very important, and we have to be very focused during that time, not to make any mistakes, so that the rest of the day is fine and everything goes well. And if all those things happen well, then we can be concentrated during the shuf.
How often do you have to clean the alambic?
Every day, so we clean them every day. We have an automatic cleaning that happens every day. And then we turn them off every 2 to 3 weeks. Then you see that it's like an onion, the alambic, and then we climb inside and we clean it. So every, let's say, 3 weeks. And you have to know that the chaudière is very, very hot when you climb in there. It's kind of a sauna in there.
It seems like a distillery is a ticking time bomb. Like at any moment it could...
We know, but at our place it never happened. We always were able to avoid it. And we do have alarms everywhere to avoid this. Yes, of course, there can be little stains and breakage here and there, but we check them every day. We go in front of them and we look at them, check them to make sure that nothing is being wasted. And then there's also the distillation non-period. Then there's also the period where we don't distill, which are also 6 months, And then, of course, we revise the alambic. We check them properly, because it's one of the worst things that could happen, that something, once you start distilling with the alambic, that something happens there. So we try to avoid all of those and do the maintenance once the distillation period is over. Also, if something ever happens during the shuf, you can't really stop the alambic, and therefore you would lose everything that you were distilling on that day.
Okay. So now let's move back to the cognac a little bit. How would this Réserve de la Famille fit in the range of Marancheville cognacs today? I know it's not a released cognac, but how would you place it if you had to?
So all the Marancheville cognacs are Grand Champagne cognacs. And for this one here, we're around 35, 40 years. We don't know exactly. No, it's not very precise. So it's a little bit difficult to compare it with all the other cognacs we have in the range. But to compare it, we could say that it's a little bit more balanced, a little more rich than our other ones. We could say that it's a little bit more balanced, a little richer than the other ones. We have for this one more aromas of leather, of prunes, that are much more pronounced. We have also kind of a rustic side that is very, very warm. So more on the warm side.
Okay. And was this also distilled with the lees, as you typically do?
Yes, of course. You can really taste it. You can really taste the roundness, and it's a Grand Champagne distilled on a lees.
Okay. And in terms of the aging, was it aged in one of your humid cellars or dry cellars or somewhere in between?
So for about 10 years now, it's been on a rather dry cellar in a small barrel to control the evaporation, because this Réserve Familiale is already around 40 degrees ABV. Therefore, we don't want to lose any. And because we don't want to lose any more, we store it in a small barrel where the evaporation is not as much.
Okay, understood. And is it ever possible, this curious question, is it ever possible that the alcohol actually can increase being stored in a tonneau or a barrel?
That actually does happen. It could happen that an eau de vie of 40 degrees ABV goes up to 45 degrees ABV. It does happen, but it's also keeping in mind that it's very, very rare, which happens more in dry cellars.
Okay, understood. And for this Réserve de la Famille, I suppose it's got a natural color and no sugar or anything like that?
Yes, indeed. We worked a lot on this blend of the family reserve, in this Réserve Familiale. Keeping in mind that I did not do the blend, it was my grandfather. I don't even know when exactly he did it, but it was him who blended it, and we just took it as it was, or as it is.
Okay, great. And for the cognacs at Marancheville, what type of oak do you prefer to use, and how much time does the cognac spend in new oak barrels?
We use different kinds of. We also work with different kinds of tonneries. But the one that we use the most is that one with easy to medium grain and medium to light heat. We don't want that the wood takes too much or covers the eau de vie too much. That's why we prefer light to medium grains. Most of the times, you apply more wood to very young eau de vie. 15 to 20% will see new barrels. And at the end, we put everything in already used barrels. And at the end, we put everything in used barrels, which we also call fûrons.
Okay, understood. So if we move to a tasting note, how would you describe the nose and the palate of the Réserve de la Famille?
So what I said earlier about this Réserve Familiale is on the nose, it is very rich. So what comes straight to my mind is this prune side, very rich on prune, and also leather aromas. On the palate, we find, of course, some traits that are very typical for the Grand Champagne cognac region. Orange, confit orange, and of course, because it's an old Grand Champagne, we also find this horseshoe side with a length that is very interesting.
Absolutely. So before I let you go, do you have any new projects coming up? Maybe a new exemplaire for 2024?
Yes, so that's probably the moment to talk about what's coming. We do have another one that's coming. It's nearly ready, pretty much already in the cartons. Not really in the cartons, but nearly. The blend is ready. We just have to wait for our labels now, and then we can launch it. We did not communicate yet what's going to be inside of this L'Exemplaire number 5, but to give you some little elements of it is that this advent calendar cognac that you're tasting right now gave us a lot of inspiration for this number 5. So this L'Exemplaire number 5 will be a lot around this Réserve Familiale that you're tasting today. We wanted to bring out that cognac that each family of vigneron has available in their cellar, characteristics that are very rich. So that's for the L'Exemplaire number 5. And then we have another idea for 2024. We think that there's something missing between our XO and the 1445 that we brought out this year. So we are planning something, and we think that we're going to launch something that goes very well between the XO and 1445. Here also, the planet is nearly ready. We just have to work on all the rest. And that's actually what takes most time.
Great. Well, exciting. We've got some new stuff coming. And well, Grégoire, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you for your responses to my questions. I wish you good luck for the distillation season, and bonne fête, of course.
Thanks, Taylor. For us, it's always a pleasure to exchange with you and with the whole entire team of Koenig Experts. And of course, also thank you to the listeners, and we hope that each of you enjoy what you're tasting right now.
Great. I'm not worried about that. So thank you very much. Bonne fête, and à bientôt.
À bientôt. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Cognac Expert Calendar podcast. Tomorrow is another day, another cognac.